This is a great night, man. I am overjoyed for two reasons. Number one, and I'll be honest, I'm leaving for Richmond in the morning. I am going on my biannual trip to the promised land that is Richmond Raceway to partake in NASCAR at its finest. But the other reason why I'm excited is I actually moved away from the diligence messages. That was a labor-intensive assignment, and I'm sincerely glad it's over. And I'm not looking for anybody's sympathy, and you know me, I'm not glorifying the enemy. But when you deliver messages like that, the attacks come fast and furious. And I said that to say, let me just stop right now and remind you to pray for our ministry gifts. Pastor Jack and Teresa are in the crosshairs 24/7, 365. Next year it'll be 366 because Satan don't even take leap year off. All right? And we need them strong, church. Amen? And we have to make sure we cover the entire family. We have to make sure we cover Leanne and Joe and Crystal and Gwen and little Jack and Miss Vicky. And we can't forget Luke and Leah because they are family too. Amen? We need them strong. And when we stand in the gap, intercede and plead the blood of Jesus over them, we are literally creating an impenetrable shield around them. That's our prayer hedge. And you and I need to keep that a priority. Amen?
Yeah.
I said amen.
Yeah.
All right. I said this before, I'll say it again. If I never preach another message, I'll be a happy deacon. But I know that's not the way it's going to be. Because I'm called to do the work of the ministry. Right? So I know that. And, you know, no matter what that entails, I'm going to do the work in the ministry. It's what I'm committed to do, whether it's wearing a grass skirt and work boots and doing the hula for Hallelujah Night. Mickey, we used to call the fall carnival Hallelujah Night here. All right? There's a mental picture you need to not get. I wore tights and a tunic for a VBS advertisement. Called Timmy a peasant. It was great. And Pastor Jack said a couple messages ago that I shaved my head, and thanks to my wife, I had the little curly cue when I dressed up like Charlie Brown. That was awesome. But seriously, God showed me this scripture a long time ago, and it stuck, really stuck. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 2. John's Gospel, chapter 2. I'm going to read the first five verses from the New Living Translation. You'll be familiar with these. John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 1. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." King James says, whatever he says to you, do it. That's why I do what I do in this ministry. Amen? So tonight, I have the privilege of delivering a message and to remind you about divine favor. So hopefully you're going to find it edifying, and at the very least, Pastor Jack will not have to bring out the first aid kit. You had to be here the last time I preached to get that one. The Amplified Classic defines grace as unmerited favor. Say unmerited favor.
Unmerited.
Divine favor. Are you experiencing it? Hopefully you're living in it. Pastor Bannon called it living in the fog, F-O-G, favor of God, right? Here's some things I want you to consider. No matter what we've been called to do, or what we're going through, we do not have to do it alone. And we do not have to do it in our own strength. Bob and Lynn, I know you're listening. That's for you. You don't have to do it in your own strength. The favor of Almighty God rests on every believer. Look at someone and say, he's talking to you. Look at somebody else and say,
he's talking to me.
You talking to me. The operation of God's favor in our lives is vital and something we should strive to pursue and cultivate. And we should avoid putting ourselves in a position that would cause us to lose favor. So let's begin. Let's go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm 5. I'm going to read a lot from the Amplified Classic tonight, so just read along. Psalm 5, we're going to read verses 11 and 12. This is the New King James Version. Verse 11 says, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them shout, let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." Nothing like starting off with a bang, huh, Elder? Those are two powerful scriptures, church. Come on. So before we even get into favor, I want you to notice who these verses are referring to. They're referring to the godly. Three chief characteristics of the godly. Are you ready? Number one, they trust God. Number two, they love God and His name. And number three, they are righteous. So let's ask ourselves some questions tonight. Do you trust God?
Amen.
Do you love God and His name?
Come on.
Are you righteous? Ooh, got quiet. Listen. 2 Corinthians 5:17, 5:21. Pastor called it the divine exchange. "For he, God, made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, so that we might become the..." We might become the... So let's try that again. Do you trust God? Do you love God in His name? Are you righteous? Don't care how you feel. It's not about how you feel. It's what the Word says. Amen. So we're still talking about you, right? We're still talking about you. All right. So check this out. Here are five blessings of the righteous, Doc. Number one, they have refuge in God. Number two, they're joyful in the Lord. Number three, they have security in God. Number four, they're blessed of God. And number five, they have God's favor. Grace. Unmerited favor. Let me read those verses in the Amplified. Psalm 5, 11 and 12. "But let all those who take refuge and put their trust in you rejoice. Let them ever sing and shout for joy, because you make a covering over them and defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you and in high spirits. For you, Lord, will bless the uncompromisingly righteous." In brackets it says, "him who is upright and in right standing with you. As with a shield, you surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor." As with a shield, you surround him with goodwill, pleasure, and favor. His favor surrounds you like a shield. What's a shield do? Protects you. So you're going to agree with me when I say that the favor of God provides protection. Several years ago, I was on my way home from work, and I was stopped at the red light directly across Kennedy Boulevard from the elementary school. I cut through DeMatteo to avoid the big red lights in the middle of the city there, and I'm stopped at the red light, and, you know, the light turns green, and for some reason, I didn't mash the gas. You know, you have to know me. I'm not green means go. When they drop the green flag, the race is on, and the second place is the first loser. But just as I decided to hit the gas, some lady came flying through the red light in an SUV, right through the intersection. And church, let me tell you, it would have been bad. She would have got me right in the driver's side door. So it wasn't for some reason that I didn't hit the gas. That was the favor of God. Fast forward to earlier this summer. Now I'm on my way to work. Seems like I spend a lot of my time going to and from.
That's right.
But I'm on my way to work. I'm coming this way on Broadhead to the center exit. Those of you who know the road, right before I got to Ironwood, there's a guy there who has a real steep driveway. Sits way down low, real steep. I don't know how he gets in the winter. But anyway, right out of that little teeny patch of wood, this deer flies right out in front of me. I had no time to touch the brake. No time at all. And to me, it happened in slow motion. I saw her come and take out my headlight, and then she hit the middle of my car, and then I watched her go airborne. And I'm telling you, she went up and over top of my little Cobalt. Yes, boys and girls, deer can fly, even if it's not December. That could have been bad. Anything could have happened, not the least of which was having an uninvited guest come through my windshield. No, the favor of God carried that deer over my car. Amen? That's true, I did. Practice makes perfect. God's favor protected me again. Now, as I told those events, I'm sure that the Lord brought events to your mind when he did the same thing for each and every one of us. God's no respecter of persons, right? It is seen in Psalm chapter 5, 11 and 12 that God is willing to bless the righteous and also protect with his unmerited favor. When the favor of God is upon a man, he will be secure and protected against all oppositions and anti-favor moves of men. So what I'd like to do is take a look at some examples of how God's favor operated in the lives of his people. And we're going to start with Noah. In Genesis, Noah is described as a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. And he walked faithfully with God as a just man when everybody else around him was considered evil. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. I'll read verses 5 through 8 from the Amplified. The Lord saw that wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and he was grieved at heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, blot out, and wipe away mankind, whom I have created from the face of the ground. Not only man, but the beasts and the creeping things and the birds of the air, for it grieves me and makes me regretful that I have made them. Verse 8 is the key. But Noah found grace, favor in the eyes of the Lord. God's favor rested upon Noah, and his protection saved not only him, but his entire family. You know the story. And we get an idea of why he found favor in the last verse there in chapter 6. Look to verse 22. Noah did this. Now, this is after all the things that the Lord gave him to do, right? All the list of things he gave him to do, verse 22. Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. Noah was willing and obedient. Obedient. Joseph received favor. Favor rested upon Joseph, but not on his 11 brothers, right? Even though Joseph was mistreated by his brothers and was sold into slavery and spent many years in prison for a crime he didn't commit, thank you, Mrs. Potiphar. God was working with Joseph in a supernatural way. So much so that he was promoted to be the second in command in the same place where he'd been a slave and a prisoner. And eventually he was put in a position to help his brothers who had mistreated him years before. I love the response that Joseph gave when his brothers came to him after Jacob, their father, died, right? I mean, they really thought they were going to get what they had coming to them. You're there in Genesis. Go to chapter 50, the last chapter in Genesis. Genesis chapter 50, verses 18 through 21, once again in the Amplified. Classic. Then his brothers went and fell down before him, saying, see, we are your servants, your slaves. Joseph said to them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Vengeance is his, not mine. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it for good to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are this day. Verse 21. Now therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and support you and your little ones. And he comforted them, imparting cheer, hope, and strength, and spoke to their hearts kindly. You see what Joseph did. After everything he endured, he passed God's grace, that unmerited favor. He passed that favor on to his brothers. Amen. Amen. Moses received God's favor. God's favor rested on Moses from the time he was a baby until he died 180 years later. Young man. When Moses was born, you know the story. Pharaoh had a decree that all male babies would be drowned in the Nile. And so Moses' mother, who names her kid Jochebed? Oh, our beautiful baby girl, what's her name? Jochebed. Anyway. So his mother hid him for as long as she could, and then she had to make a little boat out of a baby basket and had his sister marry him, take him down to the Nile. He's floating down the river. Anything could happen to that basket. God's favor, his grace was upon Moses, right? Not only does he get rescued, he gets rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and gets raised in Pharaoh's house. But he had an extraordinary relationship with the Lord. Look to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Listen to how he talks to God. Amplified Classic just brings it out. Verse 12, Exodus 33, verse 12, Amplified Classic. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you said, I know you by name, and you also have found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, show me now your way that I may know you." In brackets, the Amplified puts all the adjectives in where it needs to go. "Progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly, and that I may find favor in your sight. And Lord, do consider that this nation is your people." And the Lord said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." I don't know about you, but that would have been good enough for me. Moses, don't stop. Verse 15, "And Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For what shall it be known that I and your people have found favor in your sight? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the other people upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do this thing also that you have asked, for you have found favor, loving kindness, and mercy in my sight, and I know you personally and by name." That's what I'd call favor.
That's right.
Amen? We cannot read the Bible and not see the divine favor that rested upon David. From the time he was a boy until the time he became the second king of Israel. As a lad, he defeated Goliath when his brothers couldn't. He was anointed king of Israel when his brothers thought the position would be theirs. As a king, David was in God's favor so much so that God referred to him as what? A man after his own heart. That's in 1 Samuel 13, 14. But I like how it reads in Acts. Turn there to Acts with me. Acts 13, 22. Acts chapter 13, verse 22, New Living Translation. "But God removed Saul and replaced him with David, a man about whom God said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do.'" What an affirmation of David's obedience. Saul tried to kill David 5 times. God's favor protected him. Saul had no success. God's favor wasn't limited to the Old Testament. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Verses 26 through 38, 26 through 30, and then we'll read 38. New Living Translation, verse 26. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. A virgin named Mary. Mary received God's favor. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Mary demonstrates extreme obedience in the possibility of some pretty severe consequences. And this remarkable statement is in verse 38. In the New Living Translation, it says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. King James, according to your word, be it unto me." Powerful. I had to cut a bunch, church, because I was way beyond a time limit that I don't even care to admit. So I saved the best for last. Who you think that is? Jesus. Jesus received God's favor. I had a little bit of trouble with that at first because I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. I mean, he's God. How could God have God's favor? But Pastor Jack cleared it up a couple messages ago. Jesus left that in heaven when he came down here, right? When Jesus was born, the angelic host announced to the shepherds that God would send peace to men on whom his favor rests. You still in Luke? Turn to chapter 2. Verses 13 and 14, Amplified Classic. Then suddenly there appeared with an angel an army of the troops of heaven, a heavenly knighthood, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among men with whom he is well pleased, men of goodwill, men of his favor." God found favor with his son in everything Jesus did. At his baptism, 30 years later, scripture records it this way. You don't have to turn there. Matthew 3, verses 16 and 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." I don't think I could preach if I didn't use at least one message scripture. So this is the Message Bible, same scriptures, 16 and 17. The moment Jesus came up out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him. And along with the Spirit, a voice: "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Delight of my life. Here's the best part. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Listen to John's Gospel, chapter 17. If I had to pick one, this would probably be my favorite book of the Bible. It's Jesus' high priestly prayer. First, he prays for his disciples in the first 19 verses, and then verse 20. Listen. "I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message." Who's he talking about? Make it personal. He's talking about me. "I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me." Verse 22, "I have given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity," here we go, "that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me." And it gets even better in verse 24. He says, "Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began." I am not a smart man, but I can put that together. If he loved me as much as he loves Jesus, then he loved me even before the world began. Throughout his entire life, Jesus continued to grow in God's favor. Remember the story when they went back to Bethlehem for the census? Jesus decided he was going to hang in his father's house a little longer than everybody else. That's there. You're there in Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, in broad and full understanding, and in stature and years, and in favor with God and man. Increased in wisdom and in favor with God and man. You and I are commanded to follow his example, aren't we? How do we increase in favor? It seems like every so-called expert has an answer to that question. Throughout my study, I read a lot of different articles, and to me, some sounded more like gimmicks than sound doctrine, and we're not going to go there. But what the Spirit confirmed for me is this. Divine favor is not the result of some system. It's not the result of some magic wand, some secret code, but of obedience. I'll say that again. Divine favor is not the result of a system or a luck. It's the result of obedience. Say obedience.
Obedience.
Just as biblical figures found favor with God, you can and will find favor with him when you purpose to obey him and do the right thing. It's not that complicated. His divine favor will come upon you and it will overtake you. As a king's kid, and we are king's kids, amen, we're righteous ones, we are in line to receive divine favor. Even if you don't feel like you have received favor, release your faith and believe that you can have it in all areas of your life right now. Right now. Pastor Jack encourages us in every message he preaches to what? Say it with me. Simply believe. One more time. Simply believe. Think about how you feel about your kids. Whatever you've lost, God's going to restore it to you because that's how he is. That's the kind of father that he is. Many of the articles I read referenced a book titled The Favor of God by Dr. Jerry Savelle. And I bought it. I haven't read it all yet. Probably a few more messages in there. But I want to share with you a quote from this is just the introduction. He says, "My purpose in writing this book is to help you take hold of the favor of God that is already yours." My purpose in writing this book is to help you take hold of the favor of God that is already yours. And I echo the statement because that's why I'm delivering this message tonight. If you remember, one of the first things I said a while ago is the favor of Almighty God rests upon every believer. No magic wand, no new system, it's already yours. The purpose of this message is to help you take hold of the favor of God that's already yours. Here's a list of 8 guidelines that line up with the word that'll help you get on the right track. Are you ready? Remember, when you say, "Wow, that was deep," just consider the source. Number 1, obey God.
There you go.
Obey God and follow his commandments. When you obey God, you put yourself in the right position to receive God's favor. Now, think about this. If obeying God, being obedient, puts us in position to receive, what does disobedience do? Number 2, simply believe it. It said believe it. I put simply in there because my pastor said it. Simply believe it. Believe that you have God's favor because you do. Having faith speeds up the favor being manifested in our lives. Affirm it. Never doubt it. But affirm that it's available to you. Not only is it available, it's yours. Acknowledge it. Know that God's favor can and will be, actually is, in your life. Number 5, you got to act like it. Begin to act like you have divine favor, even if you don't know it at the time. I read that and I thought, you know, I went to a chemical plant in Monaca in 1995 for a six-month job. I'm there every day now. I'm not that good. That's God's favor. Number six, speak like it. Use positive words instead of negative words about God's favor. Speak like you walk in divine favor. You do. Watch what you say, because your words become actions and your actions become deeds. Number seven, embrace it. Embrace God's favor by accepting compliments that others give you because they see God operating in your life. Just say thank you when people compliment you. Don't downplay any compliment. And let me just tell you, I received the best compliment that anyone has ever given me about a week and a half ago. It was in a greeting card, and I'm telling you, when I read it, I was humbled to the point of tears. And understand something, I'm right in the middle of this message, right? Right? My notes are already compiled. I just didn't put them in order yet. I received this unbelievable compliment, and my first reaction was, how could anybody say that about me? Because it's not about me. It's about His favor in me. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. That happened right in the middle of preparing this message. When vessels stand up here and tell you, this message is for me, they're not lying. We preach to ourselves. Number eight, pay attention. Pay attention to what God is doing instead of paying attention to what others are doing to hinder you from walking in God's favor. Many voices of signification out there. Make sure you're listening to the voice of the shepherd. Amen? So we're almost done. There's no sign of the first aid kit. I can raise a hallelujah right now. Before I close, I want to give you a list of the 10 benefits of the favor of God from Dr. Savelle's book. I'm also going to give you a scripture reference, and I hope you can take quick notes because I got to speed through this. I'm going to give you the scriptures to go with them at the end. Are you ready? Every one of these starts out with favor produces. Number one, supernatural increase and promotion. Genesis 39:21. Supernatural increase and promotion. Number two, favor produces restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen from you. That's Exodus 3:21. Restoration of everything that the enemy has stolen from you. Number three, favor produces honor in the midst of your adversaries. Exodus 11:3. Honor in the midst of your adversaries. Number four, favor produces increased assets, especially in the area of real estate. Deuteronomy 33:23. Increased assets, especially in the area of real estate. Number five, favor produces great victories in the midst of great impossibilities. Joshua 11:20. Great victories in the midst of great impossibilities. Number six, favor produces recognition even when you seem the least likely to receive it. 1 Samuel 16:22. Recognition even when you seem the least likely to receive it. Number seven, favor produces prominence and preferential treatment. That's Esther 2:17. Prominence and preferential treatment. Number eight, favor produces petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities. Esther 5:8. Petitions granted even by ungodly civil authorities. Number nine, favor causes policies, rules, regulations, and laws to be changed and reversed to your advantage. Esther 8:5. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws to be changed and reversed to your advantage. And finally, number 10, God produces battles won, which you won't even fight because God will fight them for you. That's Psalm 44:3. Battles won, which you won't even fight because God will fight them for you. I know I'm long tonight, church, but I got to be obedient. I want to read to you Psalm 139 from the Message. We'll close with this. Doesn't necessarily line up completely with this message, but I just, it will, you'll see. I just want to read it to you. Psalm 135, the message. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I am an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead, you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it in, all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on the morning's wings to the far western horizon, you'd find me in a minute. You're already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. In fact, darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. Oh, yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God. You're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside and out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watched me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. Oh, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations. See how I hate those who hate you, God. See how I loathe this godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. Investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. Guess who wrote that? The man after God's own heart. Amen. I have delivered what I have received. Be blessed.